weeks ago,
I started What the Bible Has to Say About Mercy. And as I looked at mercy, and as we looked at it, we talked about the mercy seat and Jesus Christ as the mercy seat, and the act of kindness and showing pity to those who so desperately did not even deserve pity. And we looked at that mercy of God taking someone that deserved, was in danger of being crushed, and picking up and caring for and nourishing and showing mercy. And I begged us all to consider and to look at how we could be merciful to others. And I wanted to go right in from mercy into grace. And I hope that as we look at grace and we ponder grace throughout the scriptures, that we will get a better understanding, and that you will take home this picture of grace so you can share that with somebody else. And we've talked about and we've understood mercy withholds punishment we deserve, and grace gives blessing that we don't deserve. I'm going to talk about this in a couple weeks, but as we get looking at New Testament grace and the grace that God provides, I love how Pastor Baker loved grace, and he talked about grace, and I learned a lot from him about grace. But in looking at mercy and looking at grace, I would like to paint the picture in our minds of what grace is all about. And when I went looking, and as I began to study grace, I found that with Jesus Christ stepping onto this world and dying on the cross and shedding his perfect blood for us, the word grace in the scriptures and for the church really truly became an amazing truth that we can know, and that makes a difference in our world every single day. And we are so privileged to have church dispensational grace. And we should realize how big a gift that was. I often say the New Testament talks about the greater things that people on this side of the cross in the church age experience. And New Testament grace is amazing. And since I have studied this and I've looked at this, I've heard people talk about grace, but when I realize the gift of grace, and we sing songs, Wonderful the Matchless Grace of Jesus. I love that song. And I have loved that song for a long time. But when I look at grace and what Paul and Jesus Christ and the New Testament writers mean when they talk about grace, I'm like, wow, grace. And so we're going to look at Old Testament grace first, and that word throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And I don't want anybody to go home tonight thinking that I am trying to teach you something new or different than what you have learned about grace in your life. I don't want you to leave thinking that. I want you to understand that before the cross, the word grace meant something totally different. Just like the Holy Spirit after the cross, and the way he worked in the life of the believer, and the power of prayer in the individual believer's life, and these greater things that Jesus Christ gave to us when he purchased our redemption on the cross, grace is one of those amazing things. So will you be patient with me as we look at the transition of grace in the New Testament. Grace began in the Garden of Eden when God killed an animal to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. He could have killed Adam and Eve, could have taken their lives for their disobedience. But rather than choosing to destroy them, he chose to have a plan to make a way for them to be right with God. And he purchased our redemption on Calvary and took upon himself the sin of mankind and offered salvation to anyone who would willingly accept it. And so the first thing I'd like us to look at, part one here, is Old Testament grace. A prominent word in the Old Testament, it described grace. You could see there, I wrote the Strong's number up there, and it's the word chen. Kindness, objective, beauty, pleasant, precious, or well-favored. This word speaks of deliverance from enemies, affliction, or adversity. It also denotes enablement, daily guidance, forgiveness, and preservation. And so as we look at grace in the Old Testament, we're gonna see especially that idea of God maybe looking favorably on someone. And we're going to look at the kind of people who found God's grace in the Old Testament. And we're going to see quite an elite group of people and the accomplishments that they had. And as God looks favorably on them, as Pharaoh looks favorably on these people, and some things that kind of, you know, a woman being looked at by a king because she found grace in his sight. And we think, oh, okay, that makes sense, but that's not what we think about when we think about biblical grace, right? But again, cross changed everything, so please be patient with me. And we'll just be so, I hope that after this is done, you will be so thankful that you live in a day where you know and can celebrate communion like we did this morning. And remember the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And you can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because you're unique in being able to say that. Living in this day and age. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. When I'm going to Genesis chapter 6, I'm not trying to start a YouTube channel and get lots of millions and millions of views on my YouTube channel, because a lot of people, if they want to get a lot of views on YouTube, will have you open to Genesis chapter 6 and begin to pour over the flood and giants in the land, and that's not my goal today. I want to look at Genesis chapter 6. And Noah's part of the story. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And as I look at that passage of Scripture, the verse I'd really like to focus in on is verse 8. Grace in a doomed world. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 says, "Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You could also look at that and say, no, God looked in the midst of a lost and dying world, a world that was doomed, God looked favorably on Noah. And we could take, and the thing that, like we have always said, mercy is God withholding punishment that we deserve, and grace is God's unmerited favor. As we look at this and we see Noah in this passage of Scripture, we could say, yeah, that's Noah getting something that he, because Noah was a sinner just like the rest of them. But the idea is different than what we see and we read about in the New Testament. This idea is God is looking down on the world, and it's a very dark world, and in the midst of that, there is Noah who stands out and shines brighter, and God looks at him with favor. And because Noah was a man that walked with God, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God looked at him favorably and chose him out of everyone else in this world to save. And two things about Noah and this guy that found the favor of God, and God looked favorably on him in the midst of a doomed world. First, Noah was a just man. He was a just man. I believe that in Micah 6:8, a verse that we looked at just a couple weeks ago when we were talking about mercy, we said, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I think that if we looked at Noah, we'd see he was a man that was living out that Micah mandate that we talked about just a couple of weeks ago. Not only was he a just man in doing things right and honest, he was also a man who walked with God. I believe he learned how to walk with God from Enoch. I love Enoch in the Bible because I love that guy. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I think, oh, Enoch, what a great example. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God, and that's the legacy that he left. And I often tell kids at school when I'm teaching Bible class, I said, the people in the Bible, they're long gone from this world. And I've had kids in my Bible class for a long time. And what we do every year is we take Bible characters and we make little tombstones for them. And we put an epitaph on their tombstone so we can remember those guys. And these kids, they learn something about characters in the Bible. And I've often thought, man, what if my legacy that I could leave behind could be like Noah, like Enoch? He walked with God. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? If at the end of your life, what people knew you for is that person walked with God. That means they noticed. And when you were gone, what people remember about you is that person walked with God. And maybe someone coming after you would walk with God. Not only do we see grace in a doomed world in the Old Testament, we also see in the Old Testament grace given to a slave. Grace given to a slave. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. Joseph found grace in Potiphar's eyes. It says in Genesis chapter 39 in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor, or in some translation, many translations, you'll find the word grace there.
So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he put under his, all that he had, he put under his authority. So as we see here in this verse, that Joseph found favor or grace in Potiphar's eyes. And I sit here and as I'm reading this, and I'm like, this is the Old Testament word. It's often translated grace or favor. And I go, okay. Joseph had the Lord with him, and Potiphar saw what he was doing and that he was a faithful slave, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found favor in his sight. I'm like, that's good. That's a positive thing. And that's a good example for us. But I'm like, that doesn't, it's not exactly congruent. I think that's the word I want to use. It's not congruent to what I think about when I think, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Do you know what I mean? And that's why I'm saying, when Jesus Christ says, if you follow me, you will see greater things than these. And how when he left, he would leave us with this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit, the church, and New Testament, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, right? Because grace in the Old Testament is Joseph being a servant. And if that's how I had to get saving grace, by being a person who had to go and be a slave and follow the Lord during that time and be obedient, I'd probably still be a miserable slave. Because I look at Joseph in the Old Testament, a type of Christ who it seemed like no matter what trial he went through, always did. I go, oh, Lord Jesus, before you, I was no Joseph, and I was never going to be a Joseph. I needed your mercy and your grace. I need the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's why I'm so thankful for New Testament amazing grace. And the next example of grace that I have in the... excuse me, I forgot. I talked about these points, but I forgot to put them up there. Joseph was a successful man, and the Lord was with him. Grace in the Old Testament. The next example I have of Old Testament grace is found in Genesis chapter 50. Still in Genesis, just have to go over a couple pages. And it's still Joseph. Joseph, again, Joseph is a man that we admire in the scriptures. We talk about him as if he's a type of Christ. We were talking about this in our young adults Bible group. We were talking about Joseph as the type of Christ and just how amazing a guy he was. And we looked at his life and we said, the things he went through, he was so much like Christ. He was a type of Christ. And as we look in this passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 50 in verse 4, it says, now when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor, or it's that same word that was translated in Genesis chapter 6 as grace. So now if I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, behold, I am dying in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. There you will bury me. Now, therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back. And Pharaoh said, go up, bury your father, as he made you swear. So as we look at this story of Joseph coming before Pharaoh, he says, Pharaoh, if I have been here, and if I have been a faithful servant, and out of all the people who have served you, if I have found favor or grace,
In other words, in the midst of this dark world, if I have shined out brighter than all the rest, then you can look at me favorably. Please grant me this request. Look on me with good fortune. And it's like, and Pharaoh says, yeah, absolutely. You have been a faithful servant, Joseph. Go, bury your father. Fulfill what you've promised. And I go, oh, okay, right. That's finding favor. It's finding grace. And I get that. And I'm beginning to learn what this word is all about. But let's continue on through through the Old Testament. And let's look at Moses. And Moses finding grace. Let's look over our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. And see Moses find grace before God. In Exodus chapter 33, in verses 12 to 17, it reads, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.'" Moses is saying here, God, if you look down at the world and you saw everyone, do the children of Israel, your chosen people, do they shine brighter? And do you look on them with your favor and your grace? And if we have found favor in your sight, go up with us. And I look at these things, you know, Noah and Joseph and Moses and these guys finding favor in God's sight. That's a great group of people. But when I read about the grace that was purchased on the cross and by the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace that we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks, I want us to really get a picture of how amazing the grace of God that would move heaven and earth for God to, in the work of salvation, daily and eternally make a difference in our lives. See just how amazing grace is for us. A couple of things about Moses. First, we see in here that God knew him by name. And secondly, Moses says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Because Moses and the children of Israel found grace or favor in the sight of God. There's a couple other times in the Bible where we see grace, the word grace and favor found in the Bible, and just kind of some random things. But I just want you to see that in the Old Testament, when you see grace, it's a great word. It's a good word. And we like the people who find favor before God, before Pharaoh, before Potiphar, and what grace is. But I just kind of want to set you up for the fact that next week, when we begin to look at the saving grace that Jesus Christ purchased on Calvary, it's an amazing thing. So let's look at just some other instances of grace in the Old Testament. First one, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 8. Proverbs 17. We
in verse 8. And I don't know if you'll find the word grace in there in your translation or in mine. I know it's not, but I wrote right in there that's the word grace in the Old Testament. Proverbs 17 and verse 8 says, "A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers." You say, "Pastor Scott, what grace is it in there?" I say, "Yeah, it absolutely is." That word precious, and this is something any single one of you guys can do. Just pick out your strongest concordance, look up that number 2580 that I had up there on the, and you'll see that same word that Moses was talking about, grace, the same word that Noah was talking about, that Joseph was talking about, same word here, that word precious stone. And it's almost like we pick up that stone and we go, "Oh, that's a beautiful rock. That rock has a lot of grace and beauty." And we all understand that reference and that language. And that's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with that idea of grace. But what I really would like us, what I want us to get is that word, you know, "Oh, that's a nice rock. That rock's got a lot of grace and beauty." Is that once we turn that page and Jesus Christ has died on the cross and Paul starts talking about the grace of God that works in your life, we go, "Thank you for the cross. Thank you for grace. How amazing." Another reference that we have tonight, and the last one that I look at, is a precious woman. Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. We'll find that same word in the book of Esther. So we go to Esther chapter 2. And verse 17. It says in Esther 2, in verse 17, it says, "The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." So as we look here, and as we look at Esther, found grace before the king. He looked at her, and she found that loving favor. And even if we looked at grace from you know, Noah finding that kind of grace, that's something to be sought after. Joseph finding grace before Potiphar, before Pharaoh. Those are amazing things that Joseph found. The grace that Moses experienced. The grace and beauty of a beautiful stone, or in this case, the grace that Esther experienced as the king gazed upon her. Over all, if God looks on us with that kind of grace, that's great. But, you know, I mean, I hate to use a computer reference or something, but you know how when something comes out on the computer, like a new thing, it's great for a little while, and it's really, really good. But then you get something new, the new and better model, and you go, "Wow. Wow." Like USB 2.0, and everything goes up. Now they talk about USB 3.0, and that's just some. I can remember one day my dad coming home from work, and him going, "Scott, we just got new computers at work. These things have so much memory, I don't think I'll ever be able to use it. Would you believe it, Scott? My computer that they just purchased for me has a gigabyte of memory." Now we carry that around in our pocket in a card about this big, right? And I can remember that. And grace in the Bible. You look at Old Testament grace, it's like my dad coming home and going, it's got a gigabyte of memory. And they're like, yeah. And when we see Noah found grace in the eyes of God, we're like, I want to walk with God. Understand that favor. And Joseph found favor before Potiphar and Pharaoh. We got to go, okay, I want to be like that. I want to find, you know, grace and favor of my boss. And Moses and the children of Israel finding grace. Yeah, that's good. But next week, when Jesus Christ dies on the cross, grace goes from, we just got a gigabyte of memory. Now, like that's what I want you to think. That's what we're talking about here. And next week, when Jesus Christ raises from the dead, it's going to be, I don't even know if this fits, but it's the best example that maybe I can come up with. It's grace in high definition, right? After the cross. You want to know what we're going to sing the next couple of weeks? I didn't choose a song tonight about grace, but I've got at least two more weeks. We're going to talk about daily grace and eternal grace in the New Testament. You know what we're going to close with those next couple of weeks? And if Terry Sampson, if she chooses songs all about grace the next 2 weeks, well, not next week because we got South of Milford, but a couple, two other weeks before we get into Christmas messages and stuff. If we sing all songs about grace, that'll be A-okay with me. And probably we'll close those nights with Wonderful the Matchless Grace of Jesus. Oh, I love that song. Grace in high definition. Are you ready to look at that? Let's bow in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you that Noah found grace in your eyes, that Joseph found grace before Potiphar and Pharaoh, that Moses found grace before you. But when Paul describes the grace that we as Christians find because of your finished work on the cross, Lord, I get so excited. And I pray that as we look at, and as we look at that idea of the charis type of grace found in the New Testament that Paul talks about, that grace that is so great, greater than all our sins, might we praise your name for your wonderful grace. Bless us tonight as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.